Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have won over your brother. If he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, so that every fact may be established on the testimony of the two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, then treat him as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. Amen, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, amen, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything for which they are to pray, it shall be granted to them by my heavenly Father. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
Dear brothers and sisters, good evening to you all.
Good evening, Lord.
How are you this evening?
Good.
A woman who was bitten by a rabid dog, and it looked as if she was going to die from rabies. The doctor told her to put her final affairs in order. So the woman took pen and paper and began writing furiously. In fact, she wrote and wrote and wrote. Finally, the doctor said, "That sure is a long will you are making." She snorted and said, "Yes, I am making a list of people I am going to bite." There are people people holding any office of responsibility have the need to be accountable for the work they do. And you all know, and you all responsible towards your duties. As Christians, we are not individuals, but members of the body of Christ, that is the church, who must be very, very responsible towards others. The readings of today speaks of our responsibility of correcting our brothers and sisters in Christ who live in error. This is the invitation today. We are all invited to correct our brothers and sisters who are in error. This obligation always existed in the Catholic Church from the early days of Christian community right up to the present time. The gospel passage of today deals with such situations within the Christian community. What to do when divisions or problems or errors between people occurs? What we have to do and what we can do? Jesus stipulates a process for dealing with a community member who sins against another person. Here, Jesus lays down the guidelines for fraternal correction in the Christian community. Jesus says there are three steps to correct a person who is in wrong, who is in error. Three steps. Approach the defaulting brother and sister person to person. We have so many enemies, you know. Always we will have enemies. And always we have people whom we don't like. We means not only, not you, the people, human beings. So, Jesus says, the first step, if you don't like a person, if a person is committing any sin, or if he is in error in your community, go and talk to him personally. First step, go and talk to him personally. It is between only two persons. Second step is go. A second time, accompanied by one or two trusted companions or trusted witnesses. Go with the witnesses and talk. Even the person doesn't want to listen to you, bring the case before the local church or local community to warn the person. At the time of Jesus, there is no churches, you know. No churches. But there are Christian communities. The churches started with the Christian communities. So go to the Christian communities. Even it is happening. Even in my village, if two families fight together, it will not be ordinary fight, you know. They hit each other, whatever they get, you know, stones or slippers or sticks or knives or fight each other. So, the elders, they come and talk, hey, stop, don't do that, la. They don't listen. And finally, they take to the parish priest. And parish priest will check everything what had happened and he will give the judgment. That is the third step. It is understood that while meeting in the community, it is not the judgment but fraternal love that brings the transformation. So taking a person to the community is not to humiliate or to judge on something. We take a person to the community so that there may be a transformation in him. Transformation. So, in the last stage, if the offender still refuses to listen or to change, treat him like a pagan or tax collector or a Gentile. This is final step. He crossed three steps. Even there is no conversion, there is no change in that person, still he is arrogant. I want kill. I want to take revenge. So Jesus says, just put him outside. Treat him as a pagan or treat him as a tax collector. So he will not have any relationship with the community. That is to say, let him be put out from the community and be regarded as an outsider. Outsider. Do you watch something is coming on TV? Outsider? Serial. Do you know? You are very bad. Treat like outsider. That means he is a new person. We don't have any relationship. Go. Outsiders. The final step taken not in a spirit of revenge or vindictiveness, but out of real concern for the well-being of the whole community. That is also a concern for that person. If the person stays in the community, again and again he will take revenge on so many other people. Let us put him outside. There may be a conversion to him. The situation obviously can be changed in the attitude and behavior of the wrongdoer. Once he repents and converts, he will be indeed must be received back with joy. Once he says, "Hey, I'm sorry," then take him back. Don't leave him alone. Take him back again to the community because he had sufficient conversion, like prodigal son. "Why I did this mistake? I am suffering without food. I want to go back to my father." That is what that conversion must take into this person. When it happens, we must welcome him back. So Jesus also brought so many people like that, like tax collectors, prostitutes, and other different kinds of sinners. He sat with them for dinner, not because he liked them more than good people, but because they may change their heart and abandon their sinful life and come back to new life. Abandon sinful life and come back to new life. That's why Jesus visited the sinners, because they will be thrown out. They will be alone. They will be living the same life without any change. When Jesus entered into the life of sinners, there was tremendous conversion and they began to live a new life. That is what we all need to do. That is the invitation today for all of us. So in the first reading, a prophet is one who is chosen by God as his spokesperson and his mouthpiece so as to communicate his message to all. The job of the prophet is, the prophet is spokesperson on behalf of God. And he is the mouthpiece of God. Mouthpiece of God. He is the prophet. His role is to speak for God and to speak in the name of God on his behalf. That is the duty of prophet. The prophet must speak about God on behalf of God, not his own personal message. Only the God's message must be provided to the people by the prophet. In the first reading we heard, God describes prophet Ezekiel as a watchman. "You must be a watchman for me and for my people." And he says, "I will place you on the hilltop." On the hilltop. And he says, God also called Ezekiel as sentry. Sentry. He called watchman. And he gave another name, sentry, who will be kept him on the hilltop again. The sentry's duty is to give warning to his fellow citizens the moment he sees the signs of invasion. So the prophet must be like a watchman, like a sentry, watching God's children, God's people. Anything going wrong among the God's children? That is the duty given by God to prophet Ezekiel. And God says to prophet, "If you do not speak to warn the wicked man to renounce his ways, the wicked shall die for his guilt, but I will hold you responsible for his death. God will hold the prophet. If the sinner dies, ow, God says, you are the responsible because you did not talk about me to that sinner. You did not guide him. That's why, because of your laziness, he died with sins, and you are the reason for this person. See how dangerous to be a prophet. If, however, you do warn a wicked man to renounce his ways and he does not repent, there he shall die for his sins, but you yourself will have saved your life. So even after telling so many times, if the sinner doesn't listen, and if he dies, and he will be responsible for his death, you will not be. If you don't teach him, you will be responsible for his death. Even after teaching, if there is no conversion in that person, if he dies, and he will be responsible for his death, not you. You will be saved. See how God wants to guide his people. How nicely God made use of his prophets to guide his people so that they may not die with sins. As a community, we have the responsibility for each other's well-being. Like a prophet, we are all responsible for each one of us. Each one of us. We need to be guardians to each one of us. There are many social problems and spiritual problems in the community, such as drug taking, pornography, alcoholism, child abuse, compulsive gambling, violence in the home, not interested coming to the church, doubts in religion and faith, and so on. So many things are among the people. They're all silent killers. They're all very, very dangerous silent killers in each one's life. Because of problems, many are away from the church, living irresponsible life. It is true, we have been watching so many people. So these problems are there. They, by all means, affect you. And you, if you are attracted to those problems, it will be very hard. You will find very hard to come out from all those problems. So it is our responsibility to have reconciliation with them, to bring back to well-being. So such kind of people who are struggling with all those problems. So it is our responsibility. Go and speak to him to bring back for well-being. How we can bring back? In the second reading, St. Paul says, love is the one thing that cannot hurt your neighbor. That is why it is the answer to every one of the commandments. In every God's commandments, there is love. So, love is the one thing that cannot hurt your neighbor. If you have real love, you cannot hurt your neighbor. You cannot be away from loving. The love brings back anyone to good life. Love for God and neighbor is the foundation for all Christians' actions. Because we love our neighbors, we look out for them, we guard them, if they go astray, we warn them. So that is how we behave, and we need to behave. Warning the persons, we need to bring back. So we Christians are thus called upon to be guards, to be watchmen, to be servant, to be agent, and to image of sentry. So God gives us so many awards, you know. God gives us so many awards, like guards to other people, watchmen, servant, agent, sentry. Do you like all these awards? Do you like to be a watchman for other people? You like to be a servant to other people? Do you like to be sanctuary to other people? Do you? Do you like to be watchman?
No.
That means we are all in danger. So, here is one thing. Being a Christian is not a private, purely personal affair, as some people think. Being a Christian is not a private, purely personal affair, as someone think. When God asked Cain, "Where is your brother?" Cain's answer is, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Terrible answer. So, same way we think most of the time. Do you like to be a watchman for other people? You clearly said, no! No! It is not that easy to be watchman for other person. We don't like, "Hey, he's a stupid man, I don't want to talk with him. Get out." We don't like. But what God says, you must like. You must like. You must be a watchman. That is what we are doing. Don't say again, I don't want to be a watchman. We are always watchmen for others. We are doing that without our knowledge. Without our knowledge, we are watchmen for other people. That's why in the universe, Catholic Church is the biggest church, and Catholic Church is the biggest servant to everyone. We are all watchmen for other people. Just you think how much charity we are doing to the world. Charity. We cannot imagine. We love. Even if we don't know who the person is, we love. We watch over him by helping him in so many ways. Some things you need to bring out and read yourself, study yourself, and think yourself. Everything will come out. You will be a best watchman without your knowledge. So we cannot say to God, "Am I my brother's keeper?" So we need to be our brother keepers. So that's why St. Paul says, love. Love is the one which helps you to go and search for the sinners, to go and bring back to the community. Love. Love is important. If there is no real love in you, you are a peripheral man, just for show, but nothing is inside. If you have real love, easily we all can reach everyone. And we are all doing that. Remember that. We are all doing that. Maybe not all the time, but sometimes we are doing. That's why so many people are saved. So many people are redeemed by us, by us. We need to thank God for making us a watchman to the world. Watchman to the world. So, let us thank Jesus for accepting us as watchmen for every one of us. And let us thank Jesus for the gift that he has given to us. Being watchman is the greatest gift from Jesus to us. So, let us watch our people in our community and let us check on everyone. Let us work for everyone to be united all the time.